welcome to In Conversation. And I have with me as my guest today, Sophie Masereka. Sophie, welcome to the program today.
Thank you.
Now, Sophie, in your country, in Rwanda, 25 years ago today, well, this year, we heard of the atrocities of the genocide, and up to a million people perished in 100 days. How you're here today because you survived that genocide. Can you tell us your story about what happened?
Yes, I survived from that genocide, which lasted 100 days. I lost my dad at the time, granddad, aunties, uncles, cousins, friends, neighbors, and it's a big number. At the time, a lot happened. People died in a bad death. People were dying around me, but there was a plan God had for me to survive. I can see the reason why God saved my life, for me to be there and speak on behalf of those who perished. The actual genocide started on 6th April. We had an announcement that our president's plane crashed, and the announcement said that our president's plane crashed and we should remain in our houses. That night, we had so much noises around the city. I lived with my parents in the capital city of Kigali. We were 7 individuals. And at night, so many houses were being burnt, so many shootings, more than usual ones. In the morning, the announcement again on the radio said that we should remain in the house. But by curiosity, I went out and I saw a crowd of people running in both directions with fear. Old people, women, men, children, screaming. And I went to the road, main road. We were living near the road. And I found dead bodies laying on the floor. Those I knew and those I didn't know. I went back with fear. I went in the house. My dad was a pastor, Adventist minister, but he was not working officially for the church. He was working voluntarily. And he called us as children, as usual, routine. We prayed. After praying, he told us, this is a war, that we should find places to hide. And we went out to find places to hide. But the killers had placed roadblocks everywhere in the street to stop people going. And when they found you are Tutsi, you died there. And when they found anyone hiding in the bush, they were killing as if they are killing an animal. Now, soon after, again, the announcement on the radio said that all bushes should be cut off so that we don't have anywhere to hide. We had a neighbor, a good neighbor. He was building houses. He gave us a room which was not finished. So we used to go there and sit there, the whole family. We continue hiding, but people, neighbors, friends were dying everywhere.
Now, where did you actually hide then?
From bushes, because they had to cut off bushes. Mm. Then the neighbor gave us a room where to sit, because the announcement said that we should open our homes to let our home open. So the killers used to come in and out, in and out. Many times they could come, look at us, say, okay, tomorrow we'll come. But other people were dying around us. My story is based on the verse which is in the Jeremiah 29:11. God had a plan for my life, for me to survive. And I remember 5 days after the genocide began, I met suddenly with my brother. Now I want to tell you the miracles that God performed for me to survive. Mm-hmm. I met my brother from hiding, and he told me, "We are dying." Mm-hmm. And before I answered him, a killer came from nowhere, grabbed him, dragged him to the road. Those days they were killing people from the road, where it's easy for them to carry dead bodies in the lorries. I could see my brother going, begging him, but the killer did not listen and shot him twice. That was end of my brother. I heard they carried his body through in the lorry. Those days they used to throw them in the river. Others they used to dig a mass grave and bury them. So I don't know where my brother was buried.
Wow, that is. So just, so how were you feeling? You saw them take your brother just like that. Obviously you were powerless to do anything.
Yeah, actually I went straight to tell my parents what happened. And the killer said, my cousin was around, the killer said he was with a sister, let me go for her. When he came, I had already gone to tell my parents. That was a big miracle happened. I could have gone, he could have taken us together. Second miracle happened. The killer said, this family has to die, but before we kill them, we need to use a Sophie. I was a girl. I was finishing my second school. We want to use her because they used to rape girls around. Then we can kill the family. So others were saying we need to kill her because she's studying to be a nurse. If she survives, she will kill us, injecting us with the wrong medication. So she needs to die. They sent us announcement. They sent us somebody to tell us, tomorrow it's my turn. They used to inform us. And tomorrow morning, very early in the morning, as we were opening our home to let it open as we were instructed, when we tried to open one door, our house had two doors. When we tried to open one door, it refused to open. Then my mother said, okay, well, let's leave it. We're going to hide. We went in that room where a neighbor gave us.
In the back of the house.
It was not far from our house. Mm. As we were there sitting, my mother said, if they came to look for you and they will not find anyone in the house, so let me go, Mama said, let me go in the house. Then they will kill me so that they will not find all of us together. So my mother decided to go in the house. When she went, where I was, I said, oh, my mother is going to die. I remain alive. No, let me go die with her. I followed her. Reaching the house, my mother started crying. You're going to die in my eyes. As we were talking, crying, we saw the crowd now coming for me. I saw them through the window. They came shouting my name. You know what? They came through that door which had refused to open. They came banging, where are you? Where are you? I remember shouting, saying, I'm coming to open. I tried to open the door. Again, it refused, and the key was in. It refused, and I heard a voice telling me, pass through the other door and run. That time I forgot that my mother is in the house. I ran. As I ran going outside, again I met another crowd of people who were taking a group of Tutsis going to kill them. Nearby, there was a pit. As they saw me, they said, okay, you are one of them, follow us. I followed them. I had no choice. We went to the pit. It was near my house. And they started, macheting.
With the machete, yeah.
Yeah, people, yeah. And throwing inside the pit. And they had put us on the line, and my time came. As I said, God had a plan for my life. When my time came, and this man hit the machete on my leg, I have a scar here, as I fell down, when they were about to push me inside, a man behind me ran. When he ran, the killers ran after him, and then I crawled, went, and hid. I knew that any time I'm dying, even though I survived that moment, I knew any minute something else will happen. So I didn't have any hope that I'm going to be saved. In fact, after my brother died, it was on 5th, 11th Sunday, from that day, I stopped remembering the days or dates. All I could see was day or night. Another miracle happened. A killer came, okay, I'm going to take you to my house and then we'll kill your family. He took me to his house and he was a killer himself. Let me tell you, I don't know the days I was in his house, but he did not harm me in any way until I escaped. The day I escaped, I went home, and that was the day my family, my dad and brother, niece, were taken to the pit near my house. You know, they had dug pits near every Tutsi's home. That was their plan, where they would throw dead bodies. So my dad, my young brother, niece were there. When they saw me coming, so I had escaped that home of a killer. As I was approaching, the killer was bending to open the pit because they had covered the pit so that their children don't fall in. So he was bending to uncover it so that they can start killing. My younger brother saw me coming, approaching. He made a sign, we are going to die, go back. And I walked back. That was the day I decided to leave my place. One of my brother and a neighbor decided to take me from my place and to take me to one of the church, Catholic church called St. Paul Cathedral in the city. My brother walked ahead of me and my neighbor at the back. I walked in the middle. Now my brother, you can ask yourself, why was he able to walk freely? He had bought ID before genocide began. So he was able to walk freely, although many times they could attempt to kill him, but he risked his life to help us. So he took me to the city. This journey was to be for 40 minutes, but we walked it like 2 hours because they were going, finding ways where I could pass.
So all the time, obviously, your life is in danger. At every
minute.
All the time, and you don't know what's going to happen.
Yes,
at any moment.
Minutes, anything could happen. And remember, we're living in the city. There was no food, no water. Or about food or water, there was no hunger. We could not feel any hunger. And I don't remember the day my brother neighbor took me. I don't remember when my parents were killed. I don't know. And I was on the way going, we could reach on one broker. They stopped me, and somehow they would say, okay, go, and you will die ahead. I want to share with you one time. I don't fear to share this, where God actually showed me. He said to me, he sent an angel, he said, you're not going to die. I arrived and one road broke down. This was entering the city. And they said that this road broke had strong killers.
You mean like a roadblock? It's a roadblock, yes.
Yes, roadblock, yeah. Where people reach and right. They check your ID.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And then you go or they kill you. So the time I arrived, the strong killers, they said they had gone for break. Mm-hmm. So I found three people. One did not have a gun, and he was checking IDs. Next to him, there was another one who was not talking. So there was another one sitting on the chair, having a gun on his lap. But the one who was sitting with a gun, he was dozing, sleeping. That's where God had a plan for my life. And the one who was checking the ID, he shouted and he called me from many people who wanted to cross. He said, I need only this girl. The rest you can go. Then I came, he checked my ID, and this ID wasn't mine. It was forged for me to be able to pass. And when he opened, he said, this ID is not yours. You don't look as if this is yours. Okay, we are going to kill you immediately. Then he looked around him. He couldn't see his gun. He said, where is my gun? Who took my gun? Then he called the man who was sitting down with the gun. He said, can you stand and kill this guy now? So the man stood up. I want to show you how God is powerful. The man stood up and he pushed me so that I can go further so that he can shoot. He stood up and I knew my life is ending from there. What I did, I said, let me pray just 2 seconds. My prayer was for God to accept me in his kingdom. I did a prayer, quickly one, and when I finished my prayer, I felt my body was like frozen. If that bullet went through me, I could not feel it. I felt it that my body was frozen. And the man, he was ready to release the bullet. Mm-hmm. And what I saw the bullet falling on the floor. And the last moment I saw that man, he bent down to pick it up. That was the last time I saw the man. Now, my brother said, when the bullet fell down, they came and covered me with the cloth so that they can kill me when I'm not looking. They said that I had magic so to stop the bullet. They covered my eyes, and I stopped hearing anything or seeing anything. Now I went through, I can say a vision for you to get what I'm saying. And my brother went to negotiate to pay some money so that they don't kill me. Now I went through the vision. As I went through the vision, there were so many people, but I couldn't see anyone. I only saw a man running the ground. And this man was wearing uniform, army uniform. Mm. And I saw him coming towards me. And he held his hand on my shoulder. He told me, he said to me, you're not going to die because you sang a story of Job. Now, there is a song I used to sing in my church, and it was on the radio about Job. And this song exists today. And I thought, this was a soldier who is coming to rescue me. And he didn't repeat those words. I saw him walking the other side. And I saw him opening the book. And I saw this book was like a Bible, but he didn't have it at the beginning. And then my eyes came off him. As soon as my eyes came off him, I heard noises around. And then I started seeing. Then immediately I saw that man who was shouting for me to die in front of me. He said with a kind voice, we are not going to kill you. All I want you to do, go back where you're coming from. Because if you move on, you're going to die. Then another voice came in me, said, don't go. If you went back, you would go in that pit. So you move on. Then I told him, no, I'm going ahead. He said, okay. My brother and neighbor took me, continue escorting me. I went to St. Paul Cathedral.
Wow. So just pause there, because there's so much that you have shared, and it's just, I'm just marveled hearing what you're saying, Sophie, because you've escaped death on, you just mentioned four occasions right now where you've spared death. So if I get this right, there's this, you're at this cross point and the man with the gun is aiming the gun at you to kill you, and he pulls the trigger, but the bullet just drops.
Yes.
Just drops out without firing and hitting you. That in itself is an absolute miracle for that to happen. God was truly guiding you. So he eventually tells you to go back, but you in your own wisdom decide to go forward into
a safe area.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what is going through your mind? How are you feeling when this has just happened?
Well, I knew that is no end of survival, because there was ahead of time, because the whole country was still in trouble. Mm-hmm. I knew that something else is going to happen.
So it was like you got through this hurdle, but yeah, you still couldn't rejoice.
Now I was aiming to tell you my survival. I was reaching on my survival area.
So we're in the last 5 minutes, so we just want to hear how this works out for you.
I entered in St. Paul Cathedral. I found 1,500 people hiding there, and many people used to go in the churches hoping that nobody would come to kill them in the church. So we went in there. Reaching there, there was no water, no food, but this was not a problem. The problem was every day the killers used to come and get 50 or 100 people to be killed. They did this a couple of times, and one day they said to us, we are tired to kill one by one. Tomorrow we are coming and blow you, all of you, up at the same time. We'll come and put bombs and brew you at the same time. They said tomorrow. We were waiting for tomorrow because we didn't have anywhere to go. That night, that's where RPF came.
That's
at
where?
Night. RPF, the army, there were those army who were fighting to come and capture the country.
Right, okay.
They had begun capturing some places.
Yeah.
So when they heard 1,500 are going to perish tomorrow, that night, they came and took us walking, and they took us on the hill. Mm. And on the way, not all of us arrived on the safe place. Many people died because the killers followed us to shooting, and many people died because of starvation. And few of us arrived on the hill. This army said, you have survived. And few days, the country was captured, and the country came, and we had peace, and we went back home. That's where I found my people had been killed and thrown in that pit.
And you mentioned about your mother that you left.
My mother was with me in that St. Paul Cathedral.
So she survived. Your mother
together.
Survived eventually.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, amazing. And you were in school, you were a schoolgirl at this time. So it was 25 years ago.
It was a holiday. Yeah. I had come home for holidays when this happened.
So you wasn't even... You were just happened to be in the at the wrong time there.
Yeah.
Wow. Sophie, that you've shared a powerful testimony, a powerful story, and I know 25 years after, it's still very vivid in your memory. You cannot forget this. It's still there. How has this strengthened your faith spiritually? How has this helped you in your walk with God?
After I've survived, I remember this: the first day I walked out, really nobody stopping me, I said to myself, I'm not going to carry a hatred in my heart. I will not revenge to anybody. I know God is the one to revenge for me. And I remembered what my dad used to teach us, don't revenge, because revenge is from God. But something I want to share with you, after surviving, I said to myself, no getting married, no getting children, because I used to see families perishing, all of them. So I thought that this will happen again and my family will perish. Then I decided not to get married. And I was under pressure the time after genocide from men to marry me. That's why I ran away from home. I went to India to study. That's why I got my husband and we got married. I got children. I forgot that time. I forgot that I don't want to get married. I don't want children. Yeah. But God had a plan for my life.
Fantastic.
What if I was alone all these years? I would be miserable. Mm-hmm. But all this kept my faith. I found that really God who was with me that time is going to be with me even now.
Absolutely. Sophie, thank you so much for your testimony. It is like a Job experience and all has worked out well. You have a wonderful husband. And how many children do you have?
Three girls.
And God, and you're now safe and you're living here in England. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And I know that many people will be encouraged and inspired by what you had to say. God had a plan and still has a plan for your life. So thank you for being with us today. Thank you.
You're welcome.